You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros falling to the Oakland Athletics last night for the second night in a row. The Athletics, of course, take the series there in Oakland. It was a West Coast start time at 8:40, which Paul loved.
I hate it. I get it. They're in the American League West. I'm also aware that they used to be in the National League West back in the day. These late games suck. They just do, especially when you're playing a nobody team. If Oakland was good like they had been a couple of years ago, I would feel at the very least like I'm not wasting my time. But not only are you watching a game that really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, you're also watching the Astros lose a game to a team that they're better than. So it's just like frustrating on so many different levels.
It really is. And the Astros, we've seen this pattern with them where they tend to lose against the teams that are not very good. I will say this, though.
Oakland owns them for some reason.
They bring their A game against the Yankees, the Mariners, you know, and whatnot. I kind of like that more.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to, like, here's my hot take. I don't know how hot it is, but if you're going to lose to a team, lose to the team that's bad when you're doing some load management, when you got some injuries, and then absolutely bring it against the Yankees and Mariners.
Our industry example, when you are a frequently booked guest, you maybe half-ass your interviews with, I don't know, marginal shows. But when you're on the big-time shows, you bring out the big guns.
You bring them out.
Yeah. Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know. I just wanted to emphasize what you said because I really agree with it.
Bring them out, he said as she shook back and forth with her chest.
I
did not make that gesture Sean Mapes made behind the glass.
David Carr's eyebrows.
Do not spill them out. That
on.
Will get us
so
canceled.
It's been a weird day.
Yeah.
It's just been a weird day.
That was a really weird comment.
David Carr is not David Cully's.
David
Someone
David.
Did ask.
I think you said David Cully.
Someone did
no,
ask.
I said David Carr.
Someone did ask in the last segment on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, who is more attractive, David Carr or Derek Carr?
Yeah, David Carr.
I agree.
Carr's,
David Carr.
David Carr's jawline could cut something. His eyebrows, I could stare
don't say
at.
It. Don't say
be careful.
Don't say
be
it.
Careful.
I could stare
it.
At. His hair is immaculate.
His hair is good.
He's got a gorgeous skin tone.
It's not Sean Mapes' hair, though.
Perfect eyes. No, it's not Sean's hair.
I'm just happy to be in the same sentence. You
know? And his outfits on NFL Network slap.
Wow. Okay, so...
So I'm a Derek Carr fan. Go Texans.
What are we going to... So when you eventually are working for the NFL Network and you're doing a
we're
show...
We're not pulling this segment.
We're doing a show with David Carr. How's that going to go?
He's a married man. I'm going to respect that and just be very professional.
Okay. No jaw dropping?
No.
What was that? What was that noise?
I wouldn't jaw drop.
What was that noise?
You have to understand David Carr is like perfect to me.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Vanessa
Other than
Simping.
Jason Simona, he's...
Jason Simona. You never get his name right.
The big guy from 90210 yeah. slash...
Oh, I thought you were meaning Jason Momoa.
Oh, I do mean that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do mean that.
Because you've said Jason Momoa's name like a bunch of different ways. And I like it. It's a good way to neg him.
Oh, okay.
To make him know he's not worth your time.
It makes it seem like, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like this Jason Momoa guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do because I do know his name. I always get it wrong. But the Astros did lose anyway. David Carr, you're hot. The Astros did lose to Oakland. The A's did take the series.
Yes, look, that's what the A's are, ass.
They are dealing with some injuries right now. We don't have an update on Lance McCullers Jr. We don't have an update on Michael Brantley. Yordan did pretty well last night, which was good to see. Is this of concern to either one of you that the Astros fall to the A's, or do we all kind of view it through the same lens as it's just a couple games?
Just annoying, and again, with like Luis Garcia or with Jake Odorizzi, the one bad inning is enough to put this team in a spot where sometimes they're not going to be able to bounce back from it. The offense has definitely picked it up of late, but I saw some numbers put out by Chandler Rome on Twitter, at the back of the Astros order, which at one point was actually not doing so bad. Numbers-wise, it's below average. And I think them rallying from 3-, 4-, 5-run deficits is not something that feels like a foregone conclusion anymore, which... Is it to say that their offense is impotent? It's been a lot better since the first couple of months of the year, but it's just not as powerful as it once was.
How do we feel about the Yuli Gurriel situation?
I mean, I'll keep on saying it. And I saw a tweet from some Astros fan, which I was just like, this is how losers talk. Where the guy said essentially, Yuli deserves a spot in the lineup. It doesn't matter how he's playing right now. He could be hitting .003. He still deserves a spot in the lineup. And this is just like, this is not how winners talk. If you are a team that is good and a guy that has been good in the past isn't playing well anymore, you do not keep playing him. You just don't. Now, right now, the Astros don't have an alternative for Yuli Gurriel, and I definitely think that he would be a valuable member on the bench for this team. But right now, he does not deserve to start, and the only reason he is starting is because there is not a viable alternative. So if there's anybody out there at the trade deadline, like a Josh Bell, the Astros should be knocking, calling, whatever.
James Click was talking about some of the owner Jim Crane's expectations for this Astros squad and him as a GM. This is what he had to say on, I believe, the Astros flagship.
Jim Crane's message is you need to go do something and get help this team out. He knows what's at stake. He knows what we need to do. And that's what you want in an owner, right? You want an owner who is telling you, go, 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 and we'll worry about the rest of it later. So he knows what's at stake. He's charged us with going out there and doing it. We're going to do it.
Didn't you work for the place that aired
on? It turns out that soundbite's from KPRC, my former employer.
If we were playing audio from another radio station, I feel like that would get us in trouble. So, Vanessa, you're just trying to get the show in trouble
right
now, huh?
At least I give people credit. sometimes you'll play a soundbite and not even give the person credit.
Nah,
he doesn't even care. Unethical.
Well, guess what? There are no ethics in media, okay? It's all about show business, baby. And sometimes I just forget who put the audio out.
Happened to me.
I know. I'm just calling you out so that I feel better about myself when I do it the next 12 times.
Listen, Vanessa, don't take it personally. You don't take things personally.
Get her, Carr.
I don't take anything personally. Nothing is personal against me. I am a positive, four agreements, book-loving woman.
Back to James Click.
Great expectations from Jim Crane. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really hear the soundbite because I was so
Let's play it again.
Can we play the soundbite
again? Let's play it again.
Again?
This was on KPRC. I think Vanessa is familiar with that station. KPRC.
Jim Crane's message is you need to go do something and get help this team out. He knows what's at stake. He knows what we need to do. And that's what you want in an owner, right? You want an owner who is telling you, go, 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 and we'll worry about the rest of it later. So he knows what's at stake. He's charged us with going out there and doing it. We're going to do it.
Okay, so moves are definitely going to be made. I mean, you need to go get someone and help this team out, end quote. So this insinuates that something's definitely going to happen. They're definitely going to make moves.
They're going to try at the very least. I mean, I think the key is whenever you get towards a trade deadline is to not talk yourself into something that is going to really blow your mind. Because generally when a big move is made, yes, you could get a Justin Verlander and you could get someone that's really going to help you down the stretch, but sometimes it's a little more underwhelming. And for the most part, you just don't get anybody that like really excites you. You might get some like name that you've recognized a couple of times, maybe watching an Astros game, the guy came in relief or something like that, or he was at bat a couple of times. But I am curious as to how aggressive Crane wants them to be. They have been so consistent for so long that the idea of abandoning your process when you have been able to fill all of the holes when guys have departed in free agency, can you keep this stretch run going? Do you feel like the end is nigh? I don't. I kind of had that vibe for a moment watching from the outside in last year. But, I mean, this year, you know, Verlander's back. He's pitching the same way that he was before. I think that you do have to be thinking not just about now, but also about ways that you can keep this going. And I wonder if they would be so bold as to do something that would be more about next year, years to come, than this season. This season should be the priority, but I think when you're in the Astros position, you can actually afford to look at this through two different lenses, the long term and the short term.
Sometimes it is the trades that don't bring a lot of attention that end up being really effective. And the one I think of is like Joe Smith and Toro going for Graveman and Montero. Montero's been really solid. He's kind of been a little bit of a diamond in the rough. So to your point, I like what you said about the fact that it's not always necessary to make this big blockbuster move. Sometimes it can be something quieter that helps long term.
Well, I mean, think about it from this way perspective. I mean, think about the Astros trading for Yordan Alvarez. I mean,
yeah, that's worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to look up the guy's name who was in the trade for it.
I think
Josh Fields.
Yeah, it was Josh Fields.
I mean, look, like Josh Fields in 2016, the Astros were not, you know, the 2017 Astros. But in 2016, I mean, Josh Fields was a good reliever, right? They traded him, and look how it worked for him. Is there going to be someone like that that potentially comes available to you and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, this guy could help me out in the now, but maybe all of a sudden I can get a home run, a lottery ticket down the road by trading this guy?
I am going to trust the Astros until they prove that they cannot be trusted. And so far, whether it is the Correa deal, whether it is Montero and Toro and that deal, whether it's Yordan Alvarez, they've proven that they can handle things and that they make moves big and small that end up being effective.
It's pretty crazy.
And
their
that's
track
saying a lot because I'm not a trusting person. I'm reading a self-help book for that. I am trusting. I trust people. I trust the universe manifestation.
Okay. Wait, is this...
I'm just trying to sound like Derek Carr.
Oh, okay,
I'm not
gotcha.
Actually reading
I was
a book
like,
about
do you
trusting.
Actually believe no, that?
No, 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 no.
Like
I'll never
do.
Trust people. That's a lost cause.
You trust me?
But I... No. God, no.
What?
But I don't take the...
How about
but
Sean?
Don't take
do you trust Sean?
I do trust Sean.
What the hell? I will take that personally. What, do you want me to talk?
Don't trust it.
You want me to talk trust back in existence? Because I trust you.
Read the four.
Put the bleep.
Paul is definitely someone who takes things personally.
Paul does.
No, I don't. But, I never would do that.
But just say
ever.
Things.
Everything.
I don't have a grudge against all of the stations that fired me. My peewee football coach that didn't put me in because I was too small. My high school football coach that didn't put me in.
A random blonde on ESPN who got a job as a betting analyst
no,
who you hate.
I don't take it. I mean, that thing's funny because I don't even know that person. She doesn't know who I am. And I'm just like, what the hell?
But you're still Michael Jordan. I took that personally.
I did. I take everything personally. Yeah. Yes, I do. Whatever. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Coming up on Sean and Vanessa.
Wow. Just go.
Vanessa
kick
Gallant. Take notes, Casario.
Sean and Vanessa. Sean and Vanessa. Sean, get up next.
And it's time for Wine Wednesday. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, with training camp beginning, we're getting some sound bites and some quotes from around the league. Coaches, general managers, QBs, of course, we expect to hear from the Texans. On Friday is when we'll hear from Casario and Nick. Nick Casario and Lovie Smith almost mixed up their names.
Casario and Casario.
Casario and Casario.
Sounds like
a
law firm.
Yeah,
Jinx, you own Minnesota. And you don't trust me. And yet we're saying the same words, word for word. Good God.
Takes more than that. The Vikings GM, who is entering his first year as GM, said something about quarterbacks that my untrusted co-host, Paul Gallant,
untrustworthy,
liked.
Yes. Yes, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. So this guy, I watched him at a press conference, and he is very young looking and clearly seems to be one of those guys that has a lot of background in probability and numbers. And I find him to be very interesting as he comes into the NFL because of just the way that he was so frank speaking with everybody. So he had a sit down interview in his office with a couple of Vikings reporters, and he was asked about Kirk Cousins. He said this: "I'll be frank. The one asset where you get nervous about not burning it down is quarterback. We don't have Tom Brady. We don't have Patrick Mahomes. The Super Bowl is more likely to win if you have that quarterback. It is unlikely to have that quarterback." We all agree about this, right?
Sure. It's logical.
But how many people that work for an NFL team are actually willing to say that out in the open? He's a general manager, so it's a little bit different. It's not like he's a coach saying these things. He's right. And everyone should think this way as a general manager. If you don't have Tom Brady, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you should always be looking for something else. And I know, you're hearing me say this, and you're like, oh, of course, the commitment phobe does not want to commit to a quarterback. You're damn right I don't. I want to find the best guy I possibly can. And I hope that Casario is operating from this same perspective. Yes, you can get a good quarterback. You can lock yourself to that good quarterback for a while. But we saw how that went with Jared Goff. We saw how that went with Carson Wentz. We saw how that went with Jimmy Garoppolo in three respective situations with the Rams, with the Eagles, and of course with the San Francisco 49ers. What did they get? What did Washington get out of Kirk Cousins? What has Minnesota gotten out of Kirk Cousins? It's nice to have a good quarterback, but you need to basically have an unbelievable night at the gambling table if that quarterback is going to take you to a place where you're going to have a chance at winning a Super Bowl. So you should always be looking for something better. And I do not want the Texans to go into next season after a year where Mills even is just an incremental improvement. We need to see a good to great level of Davis Mills to firmly commit to this guy long term.
And well, this draft class actually has quarterbacks that would be worth drafting.
Based off of everything we're hearing,
based off of what we know.
Right. And again, that's a crapshoot, too. Everyone loved Justin Fields coming out of last year's draft class. And I mean, he looked the most lost of all of the quarterbacks that were rookies in the NFL last year. Part of that has to do with the Chicago Bears roster. But I just want the Texans to objectively look at this and not try to talk themselves into another quarterback, which they have done so many times before with insert quarterback not named Deshaun Watson.
So you agree with the Colts approach because they've had six quarterbacks start for them the last 6 years.
Honestly, that is the correct approach. And part of that
because I will tell you it's insufferable for fans, or so I've heard.
No doubt. But what's just as insufferable to me, someone who has seen the good life with Tom Brady growing up, someone who had gotten a taste of Deshaun Watson with the Texans, but just a couple of years. You know what great is. You should never settle for anything less than great at that quarterback position. You can have that guy still be your quarterback for a season, for two seasons, for three seasons. But if you feel like you have an alternative or an upgrade at any point, you should think about it. You shouldn't say, oh, we can't do it because X, Y, Z will hurt his feelings or something like that. No, screw that. Sorry. It is a high-stakes league, cutthroat league. Always be looking.
All right, let's do a little segment we like to call Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine, wine, wine.
Paul, you want to whine a little bit and not about how I don't trust you?
Oh, okay, that was going to be my wine. My co-host doesn't trust me. End segment. So, speaking of, you know, being a commitment phobe and all sorts of different things like that, I hate that I want what I can't have. And I went through the ringer of just thoughts about why it is that I can go and visit a person in another town, a person who has been extremely fair with me.
This is already so good.
When I have knocked on the door, she has always politely declined, but we've always been cool. But then she'll open the door, open a creak with a comment. I know I am just talking myself into her opening the door, a creak for...
Is this a literal door or the proverbial?
It's a proverbial door.
Okay. Are you bothering someone while they're in their apartment?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Here's
a metaphor.
I actually thought you meant a real door at first. I
got a little lost.
Okay, so she kind of like opens it back up and flirts with you or does something like that.
She flirts, and we always have such a great time together. And there's always enough flirting where I feel like, wait a second. No, this is still an open door. And I know it's not. And I know it's never going to happen. And yet, here I am, multiple days afterwards, still thinking about this person that I had a great time with this past weekend, thinking that, no, someday it's going to work. And the problem is that I've had multiple situations in the past where I have just been persistent, and eventually something has happened. But what is that something? I just hate that I want what I can't have. I hate it. It always is going to be a thing for me on this front. I feel like I don't know really how to stop doing it. It drives me crazy. I thought, honestly, was past this person, over this person. We're friends. It's fine. Go back there and like immediately like, oh, here I am.
So
here
this
I am
is
again.
Seattle, right?
Yeah, this is in Seattle. Yes.
So you're meeting this girl and you genuinely think that if she wanted you, you would stop wanting her. Be honest.
No, I don't. I know she's not into me and I can't, for whatever reason, get that out of my head. I can't get it out of my head.
But that's,
it's unfair to her. I feel bad.
But that's growth, because that means that if she did want you, that you would still want her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I hate that I just can't move on. I can't. I thought I had, honestly. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, it's just the two of us hanging out at the end of the night, and we're being flirtatious. And I'm like, damn it. I know I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm only here for a couple of days. There's no point in opening this up. You're just going to be mad at yourself later.
And
here we
it
are.
Feels so bad.
Twitch, can we add Stalker to Gallant's resume?
Sean, what's your wine? Hey. What's your wine Wednesday, Sean?
Well, mine feels pretty silly after Paul, like, you know, laying down on the therapy couch just there. But a rock went and chipped my window or the windshield of my car, and it is literally like. If my windshield wasn't there, it would have hit me right between the eyes.
Oh, damn.
It's like dead center.
Actually really scary.
And, I have no idea, or I do have an idea of how to fix it, but I can't wait to
pretty
learn.
Pretty expensive.
I can't wait. Yeah, that too. I can't wait to learn the process of how to get my windshield replaced. But yeah, not exactly.
Safe light replace, free advertising.
That's so I've heard. Yeah, so not exactly as, you know, introspective of a Wine Wednesday as... Pauly G, but yeah, it seems like it's going to cost me some money.
That is a pain in the ass. Really I have a friend, though, Sean, who in his very nice car cracked his windshield. And I bleep you not, I've known the guy since like 2013. And that crack's been there since 2015.
That's not good.
And it is still there.
Okay, so I had to go Karen yesterday.
Oh, you did?
And I went full Karen.
And like, you're 27.
I'm surprised I didn't chop my hair off.
Very early to go
So here's the Karen. Thing. I have bought furniture for the first time in my life. When I was in college, the dorms that I went to school, they had furniture. When I left college and went to Cincinnati, I had a friend's couch, my mom's old bed, and my dad's old table. Now, these pieces of furniture, the couch is like 8 years old at the time. My mom's bed was 35 years old. My dad's table was probably 40 years old. So when I moved into this new apartment that I just moved into, I was like, this furniture is literally broken. So I decided to invest and buy furniture. Now, I'm not doing anything too crazy luxury furniture. I just went to Ashley Furniture. Simple, whatever. So I get a couch. I get a bookshelf. And I get a nightstand type deal. So when I place the order, when I purchase these items, I say, all right, as far as the delivery date goes, you can really do any day during the week, but it needs to be after 12:30. And they're like, we can request that. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, I literally won't be home until after 12:30 because I host a radio show. So just make it after 12:30. Well, we can request that. Oh, so God. They call me yesterday, hey, you're on the delivery schedule for 9:45. I went, that won't work because I leave for work at 8:45.
Oh, no.
And I come back at 12:30. Well, that's just the way that our delivery, we can't guarantee a time. I said, put me on the phone with your manager. I said, let me speak to your manager. So they give me to the higher ups. Hi, this is Ashley Furniture, blah, blah, blah. And sorry, we can't deliver. We can't control the delivery route. We put together an automated route based on where. I don't care about your automated route.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. If I purchase an item as a paying customer and I'm giving you a very large window, I'm not saying, oh, you can only come for this half hour.
That's
I'm
where you're right. Yeah.
You can
window.
Come Monday through Friday, any day of the week, as long as it's after 12:30 or hell. You can come before 8:30 if you want to make it early. I am giving you a large window. I paid for this furniture. You need to guarantee that I will. Well, we can't guarantee it. And so I said, hey, Ashley, what do most people do?
Say another word we're gonna get ass.
I said, what do most people do? That and this well, most people either pay a person to be there to have their furniture. Or they have their spouse or a neighbor. I said, I don't have a spouse. I don't know my neighbors. And I'm not paying somebody to be here to get my furniture. If I'm a purchasing customer and I'm spending thousands of dollars on delivery and the furniture, you need to guarantee that I will be home when I'm giving you a large window. Ashley Furniture, never again.
I'm with you on that. Movers are like that too. The automated schedule thing is, look, I can do it on specific date, any date. I just need to do it after a certain time period. I'm the same way. There's a lot of
it's a large window,
place.
And it's not like I'm saying you must come be between 6 and 7. No, I'm literally giving you all day, 5 days in a row, and you're out. Yeah. Well, we can't guarantee it. Well, you know what, Ashley Furniture? Never again. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. I'm heated. How about them Cowboys? That'll get me in a better mood. It's coming up next.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
As Jack Harlow says, I got options. That was the message that Jerry Jones had as Cowboys kicked off training camp. They do their training camp in California in Oxnard. Is it Oxnard or Oxford? Does anybody know?
I always heard it as Oxnard.
Oxnard, it could be. I didn't actually know that they did their training camp here until I saw Jane Slater from NFL Network, who covers the Cowboys in California, and I was very confused.
Oxfart.
Yeah, that's probably it, Paul. So off to a good start. Jerry Jones, the character that he is, meeting with the media.
Oh, man. Vanessa, this was
great. And here's the thing. We love content. We especially love content during the off season, so we hope Jerry Jones lives as long as possible for a myriad of different reasons.
He is showing his age.
And this press conference, he looked old.
That was a tough press conference because, Vanessa, his opening statement was like 10 minutes long.
And it was a lot of rambling.
Right, and every question that Mike McCarthy was supposed to answer, Jerry would just take the mic and just
incredibly awkward.
Go with it. Oh, boy.
So there's been a lot of speculation that defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, that people could be coming for Mike McCarthy's job. Sean Payton, if he decides to come back to the NFL. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say about his faith in Mike McCarthy.
But one of the ones I want to address directly, because I guess it's the one that probably the one that I have the most sensitivity about, and that is Mike and him coaching. And I want to be real clear. He wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. He would not be. And I have choices. And so that's not meant to be insensitive to anybody. That's a fact.
Jones brought that up in his opening statement, Vanessa, unprompted.
Because
there have been
choices.
A lot of rumors about him. Yeah, I have choices, which is a weird thing to say if you have, you know, the back of Mike McCarthy. I don't understand why he believes McCarthy can get them to a Super Bowl, because no one outside of Dallas believes that McCarthy can get anyone to a Super Bowl. We had, what, almost a decade after that first Super Bowl in Green Bay with one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen, Aaron Rodgers, of a sample size to show that it is far from a foregone conclusion that a Mike McCarthy-led team, whether it's due to offensive conservatism in the wrong moments or just undisciplined football, that's always been a problem for him.
I didn't realize that. I saw the stat this morning. In the last 25 years, the Cowboys have only won 3 playoff games. I don't know why I thought it would at least be a little bit more than that, but either way, it is delusional for anybody to think that the Cowboys are going to be good under Mike McCarthy.
So that, if I'm doing my math right.
This was according to NFL Network, so I assume it's correct. I did not actually count it myself.
If I'm doing my math right, the Texans have more playoff wins than the Cowboys.
Could be. If the stat from NFL Network is correct.
You got the 2 wins over the Bengals.
Right.
You got the win over the Raiders with Brock Osweiler in charge. You have the win over the Buffalo Bills. How about that? It's football time in Houston.
Okay, in the past 25, the vaunted Dallas Cowboys have a total of 3 playoff wins. Only the Browns, Washington football team, and Detroit Lions have won fewer playoff
That's
games.
That's right. That is
so,
right.
Go Texans.
Raise
the superior
a banner
football
next to the
brand.
AFC South championship banners. Right next to that. Like, better than the Cowboys. Suck
but you're
on
right.
That.
He did seem very old.
Yeah. And there was another moment,
There
Vanessa.
Was another moment. And here's the thing. So, okay, there's a type of racing predominantly in Indiana, it's other places too, called quarter midget racing. So I'm being dead serious. I've
what?
Never thought of quarter midget racing.
We need to cancel Indiana as a
they're
state.
They're midget trucks, midget cars.
So wow, those cars, they don't ask to be called
I've
that.
I've never thought of
they're
that.
Little as, cars, right?
They're little,
they're little
cars.
They're little
I've
cars.
Never thought of them as a bad word.
Elvis
quarter
cars.
Quarter midget racing, whatever.
Dorvin cars.
Apparently that the M word is now thought of as insensitive, and I always want to respect all populations of people. Jerry Jones had to apologize. Do we have the sound bite? Okay, here's Jerry Jones.
Lace Hell Court out here, and I've always, I'm going to get me somebody about to stand up there with me and dress him up like Lace and think Lace is still out here helping us look at the practice with us. But, you know, we all need our props and a little memory that goes with it. But here he is to Lace. Really, and I'm serious about that.
He's paid
so
tribute
Dallas
to a dead guy.
Dallas scouting director Larry Lacewell, who he called Lace, passed away and apparently was of shorter stature. And so Jerry Jones joked that they were going to dress up a, insert M word here, as Lace.
Oh, my God.
Then had to apologize
And then
later.
He also stepped in a little bit more by, he was like, yeah, sometimes you need props.
Yeah,
that's not great.
I mean, that made it even worse.
Calling them props isn't great.
Our small scout was a prop all this time. He was just a comedic prop. Look, I mean, he's old and he thinks that it's okay to say this. I'm not going to get mad at an old person for saying something that is not accepted by today's standards. But it is a weird way to pay tribute to a dead person.
That was my bigger takeaway than him actually saying the quote-unquote M word. Was I was like, oh, he must have been talking about someone short. He must have been talking about the Wizard of Oz. No, he was talking about somebody that died and was trying to pay tribute to them.
I'm not going to cancel Jerry Jones for this, Vanessa. I'm going to cancel the people in the background that you heard laughing. You are canceled. You're a reporter. You're supposed to be objective. You're not allowed to laugh at anything.
How about them Cowboys? That's a rough first media conference. Do you guys remember after the draft when he held up their draft board and his son, Steven, was like, Dad, put that down. And sure enough, people zoomed in on it and saw where the Cowboys had
it. It was a deep fake. No. They wanted everyone to see
that. You're totally wrong.
Chess. Everyone's playing checkers. The Dallas Cowboys, baby.
Do you think every time, because this was a live stream press conference like on the Cowboys YouTube, do you think their PR team is like always like, oh, my God.
Absolutely.
We're going to put Jerry Jones in front of live microphones.
I think that they realize that all publicity is good publicity because of Jerry Jones. And let's be frank. I mean, the Cowboys stay relevant not by winning football these days. It's by having soap opera-ish drama or people put their foot in their mouths. Literally.
When you hear different owners talk, you understand why owners don't talk to the media often. I think Cal McNair's a very nice guy. I've had nothing but good interactions with him. I understand. I don't like it. As a reporter, I would like to hear from him more. But I understand why they don't have Cal talk more.
I'm glad you brought this up. Would you rather have an owner who's practically a mute in Cal McNair? This is not me besmirching Cal McNair's intelligence or anything like that. I'm just saying you never hear from him.
Right.
And when he does talk, it's like very brief. Versus Jerry Jones, who goes on long, rambling, one-hour-long press conferences. What would you rather have?
It's a really good question. I think if I'm covering a team, Jerry Jones. If I'm a fan, I'd rather have the owner shut up.
Yeah, I think... although, if you tell me that they're only going to win either four playoff games in 20 years or five playoff... Or, no, or three playoff games in like 25 years.
Three for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Let's have some fun while we barely win any playoff games in 20 years.
We need to do an owner's category segment at some point because the alternative is Indiana, where you have Jim Irsay, who just says really off-the-wall things and talks about music during press conferences.
See, Jim is the best of both worlds.
Right. He really is. Cal doesn't say much at all. And then you have Jerry, who, like you brought up. I mean, that was the opening statement where he said that about Mike McCarthy.
And Mike McCarthy laughed when he said, like, I'm going to turn it over to Mike now. And Mike's like... Any questions? I'm not going to really have an opening statement here. I'm just kidding. And he said a couple of nice things about the offseason and all those things that I guess you expect a coach to make in an opening statement. I'm hoping this is changing. This might be wishful thinking on my end. But, I mean, just watching Jerry Jones in that spot, even if Stephen Jones is the one that's doing more of the operating behind the scenes these days, I like to have an owner... that isn't meddling. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that the Patriots over time got better is because Bob Kraft stopped getting in the way. I mean, Bill Parcells quit the Patriots as head coach essentially before they were playing in a Super Bowl in 1997 because he was sick of a meddling owner. Jones, you could just tell, like, how can you in good conscience be a head coach when this guy is just talking all the time? And I'm hoping that with Caserio that Cal McNair is now taking more of a step back and pulling guys like Jack Easterby out of the actual day-to-day operations, the fray.
I've said that about this franchise. I will always give credit where it's due because I don't give them a lot of credit. It does seem like Nick is running the show. When you look at decisions that are made, guys that are drafted, that seems to be the case. If you own your home, listen to me.
Ooh.
TGS Insurance is going to make shopping for home insurance the easiest it's ever been, and you're going to get like a much, much better rate. So it's not a hassle. TGS has a new system, and it instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get that full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. So get out your phone, text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to text you back and ask for your home address. You send in your home address, and within 15 seconds, bada bing, bada boom, you get a bunch of rates. It's a legit company. It's not a scam. Their average customer from last year saves over $870 on their home insurance. So again, I know you don't like to shop for it. It's not fun, but TGS at least makes it easy. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN.
97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, with training camps kicking off, we're now hearing from players on a consistent basis. We'll hear from the Texans on Friday. George Kittle always has some fun press conferences. Very colorful personality, very fun guy. He started out his press conference with a simple question to reporters.
I got a question for you guys. Who would win in a fight, a grizzly bear or a silverback gorilla? This is an argument I had in my group chat today. So I'm pretty sure a grizzly bear is actually way bigger, and it has daggers for hands. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the grizzly bear, too. So anyone that said silverback, can you leave, please? It's tough. That's tough for you guys.
It's actually not the question that's funny. It's at the end when he's like, you guys can leave if you chose silverback.
A grizzly is often at least twice as heavy and can be three times as heavy as a gorilla. So it's like a 70-pound person fighting a 150 to 210-pound
person. But a silverback gorilla, I feel like, is quicker. Am I wrong about that?
Quicker, smarter, sharp teeth, stronger probably.
Right.
Has the reach.
Faster. Yeah. Longer arm span. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm actually probably going with silverback gorilla. I guess I got to leave.
I think I have to go with the grizzly bear here. But I do think that bears do startle every now and then. I don't think, like, gorillas really startle. I think gorillas are pretty assertive about, you know, their territory and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, if you're around the, oh, I forgot what a group of gorillas is called, but whatever, the family.
If the gorilla could somehow get the grizzly from the hack and, like, put it in, like, a sleeper hold or something like that, oh, yeah. And I feel like it's nimble enough to do that. Like, it could jump up a tree. I mean, grizzly bears, I think, can climb trees, but I'm imagining it's slow the way that they do it.
Hmm. No, grizzlies can fly up trees.
Grizzlies can fly.
Not fly, but, you know, they can really move up the tree very quickly.
They can? Is it as quickly as a gorilla, though?
You know what? I haven't seen them in the 4x400, but,
there's an article that came up. This is May 23rd. Silverback gorillas versus grizzly bears. Who would win in a fight?
The thing is, this is just going to be someone else's opinion. They're going to have a little bit more facts than we do.
Everyone seems to agree that, yeah, that this is definitely going to be a grizzly winning.
I think it's silverback gorilla. Come at me all you want, peeps.
Mm. I will say the gorilla probably has this higher fight IQ. Probably can, you know.
If the gorilla had brass knuckles, then maybe we're talking.
Yes, because the claws on a bear, that's the deciding factor.
Here's the other deciding factor. Could the grizzly bear is only operating with what it's got? Say there is something lying around that the gorilla could use as a weapon. Are we talking about an even fight here? Because I'm pretty sure that the gorilla swinging that weapon would be pretty damn devastating.
Yeah.
So give it like a spear or something?
Just say like a big stick, like lying on the ground or something like that. Because I'm assuming it's taking place in the jungle. Or the forest. So, I don't know. But the gorilla would need help. It would need like man-made advantages. It would need its, you know, deep, distant past that relates gorillas to humans. It would need to exploit its intelligence
in a way
that would be outside
the box.
Shout out
to George Kittle for not being like Derek Carr and being sensitive at the podium and instead asking fun questions. Yes.
Yeah, what a great opening statement. So much better than Jerry Jones.
Right, yeah. With little people. All right, it's time for garbage time.
It's like 10 minutes less.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I literally hate to admit that I agree with any of the Kardashian-Jenner clan members on anything, but Kylie Jenner posted something on Instagram, and if you're not on Instagram and you're listening, your daughters and sons will know what we're talking
about.
But
good for you being off Instagram, because I hate it. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah,
he
is. Instagram...
I don't even follow the thirst trap models anymore.
...has changed the model of what they show you. So they're basically showing you a bunch of TikToks, a bunch of accounts you don't follow. This is a far cry from what Instagram started as 15, 12 years ago, whatever, where it was, you know, a photo album.
It's all about the reels now too. I mean, you'll see more reels than you actually see photos
and
of people you know.
I don't care about reels. I don't care about a stranger's
either.
Reels. I really don't. If you're like,
I don't either.
I'm a teacher, and this is what I did for my classroom. It's cute if you're a teacher, or if you're like, this is how I made pumpkin bread during quarantine. Here's my reel. Like, if I want to see that, I'll follow you. But Instagram's algorithm has changed. So Kylie Jenner called out Mark Zuckerberg. Make Instagram Instagram again. Stop trying to be TikTok. I just want to see cute photos of my friends. Sincerely, everyone.
I've actually noticed, too, that like if I post something, it's a totally different response than it had been like a couple of months before.
So not as much engagement.
No, not even close. But if I post a reel, that's what's funny. The reel gets a ton of engagement. The actual post itself does not. So they're trying to be TikTok.
It's like videos on Twitter. The amount of engagement I get when I post a stupid video is ridiculous. And then I'll put out, you know, a tweet that I actually have thought in.
Mark Zuckerberg sucks is basically what we can all agree on here.
We all had something that that he liked, that we liked, and he ruined it.
It is crazy that they stole stories basically from Snapchat, and now they're also just trying to be TikTok. Like, they really are. Their plan is just to be the new app and just kind of shape yourself into the new app and hope the people just stay with you.
This from Barstool Sports, an alleged too hot girlfriend for hire is at the center of a spy operation.
Yeah.
In which both the Russian and Ukrainian intelligence agents. Did you put this on here?
I put this in
here. Okay, explain this, because this is fascinating
to me. It's pretty complicated, but so Ukraine was trying to put together a program where they would recruit Russian pilots to Ukraine. And they had a really hot woman as one of their agents try to, I guess, seduce a Russian pilot.
Hell yeah.
But Russia discovered the plot because they noticed
that she was too hot.
Way too hot for him.
Yeah.
So this poor sap is just like getting roasted for being ugly right now.
They needed to send, like instead of a 10 like her, like a strong, like 7.5 like me. You'd never know.
They need to make this a movie. This would be a great premise for, like, a romantic comedy where, at first, everyone doubts that they, you know, why would this 10 ever want to be with, you know, Sergey, the Russian pilot? But then they fall in love.
But then
his name is Boris.
But then they fall in love and have babies.
War normally tears. The warring nations.
And then the war is over.
No babies. We don't want babies in this movie.
And we can build
this is topical. Together. But it's topical. I mean, this could be a rom-com drama. Like, you got war in the background.
It's like Titanic. They're not supposed to be together.
Yeah. And Titanic was a comedy. Like, you see how that one person fell and hit their head on the propeller and then like goes up.
Kathy
Bates was funny in Titanic.
Yeah, she was like, I do declare, I am Kathy Bates, Kate Winslet, and you must be going and having
Sean,
sex with a small 18-year-old boy and then leave him to die and not get on your door when this boat sinks here, I do declare.
They did a really bad job of making it look like she didn't have enough room for him in the inn. She definitely did.
Yeah, why don't they just make the door smaller?
I know. Like, this is bad.
Why didn't she just get with the rich guy?
That's a better point. I ask myself that every day.
It's freaking, it's Billy Zane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Leonardo DiCaprio looks better than Billy Zane. My ass. That is incorrect.
The Seahawks on Tuesday released running back Chris Carson with a failed physical designation due to a lingering neck injury. It's expected he's going to retire at age 27.
I
hate
Carson.
Stories like this.
I loved him.
Did you cover him?
I did. Rare combination of power and agility. Very good at hurdling people. A very good stiff arm. Fumbled the ball a little bit. Got injured a lot. Seventh round draft pick. And I'm glad he got a second contract. But he's one of those guys that makes me so angry when people say, you never pay a running back. You never pay a running back. I don't know. If your running back is good, pay the guy. Like, I get it. Like, you're probably not going to get forward returns on said contract. But the guy was playing on, like, a minimum contract for the first couple of years of his career and was a damn good player.
And any neck injuries, maybe it's because of Andrew Luck, but any neck injuries, or Peyton Manning, I mean, excuse me, just kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, it's a bummer. My favorite Chris Carson memory is the time that someone talked trash about him not playing in a game because of his fantasy football team. And then the guy said, like, and Carson said, bleep your fantasy team, and then gave him his address so that he would come up and square up. Carson's the man.
Are you into muscular women?
Blonde? Depends.
Is she hot? Just say yes or no.
I am attracted to her, but the arms are a little big.
Okay, so so Alex Rodriguez is dating a woman in her mid-late 20s who's, I think, actually from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Catherine Pageant. She is very, very muscular. She's attractive, but she's very, very
That's
muscular.
Always been his type.
Into bodybuilding. Yeah, he likes more muscular women. Yeah.
He likes athletes.
J-Lo had a bus on her. So she posted bussin.
No cap.
This Catherine chick posted all of these pictures from Hall of Fame weekend that got a lot of attention, partying with Big Poppy, David Ortiz, of course, and A-Rod. And, yeah, it was that they've been spotted out. She's the blonde that was with him at the Lambeau Field game, if you guys remember that clip, and then courtside with him at some Timberwolves games.
I think that girl's attractive, though. That picture, her arms look very, very big.
Yeah, no, the picture of her holding, like, whatever, some sort of book or something, it looks like she is doing, like, a bodybuilding pose.
Correct.
To, like, flex it even more.
Yeah. It's
disturbing.
Pretty big bicep.
But it is.
It's a very big
shockingly
bicep.
Big biceps.
So. So good for A-Rod, you know, for moving on from J-Lo. He's dating someone half his age. I think that's what millionaires and billionaires do, is my understanding. So good for him on that front, I guess. Are you surprised he's with somebody that's that muscular?
No, again, it's his...
J-Lo wasn't that muscular, was she?
But there's a couple of other people that A-Rod has been with, and that has been their body type. And I forget off the top of my head the names of the people.
Oh.
Wasn't there a brief period where he was with, what was it, I forget. Was it Kate Hudson?
Yeah, that could be. I get
or
him.
Or was
and,
it Cameron Diaz? I forget.
I get him and Derek Jeter's dating conquest. Like, I know one of them was with Cameron Diaz for a while. I know one of them was rumored to date, I think, Aaron Andrews. I don't know.
He has dated, yes, Cameron Diaz, Kate Hudson. So I was right on that. Both of them have had very defined arms in the past.
Very defined arms.
What's wrong with that?
Do you like defined arms?
Defined, yes. Jacked, like, big, that's where it kind of gets.
So what Paul's saying is he likes women who also wear schmediums. All right, that's a show. Wow. Vanessa and Klein. Sean Mapes behind the glass is always a great job. Up next on 97.5 and 92.5, you got Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees coming up.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.